Welcome to the Hot Level Podcast. Kevin A.C., Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres, Giants. Sounds like last week. Padres will play the Giants, host the Giants for four games, and then the Dodgers for three. The opposite of what happened last week, where they hosted the Giants for three, swept them, and then went to Dodger Stadium for three games, were swept. Wow. Ryan, where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with a new area of concern. my takeaway from this Dodgers sweep is that the Padres starting pitching, which I still think may be a strength long term, short-term things aren't looking very good. You start with Michael King being put on the IL on Friday. That forced the Padres to go with kind of a bullpen game that did not turn out well. And then Dylan Cease, you know, continues to sort of be maddening. Could not throw strikes in the first inning. Really put the Padres in a hole. Yu Darvish, same thing, frankly. Gives up four runs in the first two innings on Sunday. Kevin, how much of a concern is this? Or is this just facing a good team or bad luck? Or what do we think?
Yeah, Yu Darvish gave up four runs in the first inning. Same difference, I suppose, except for that he gave his team even less of an opportunity to feel like they were in it, though they did battle back. I'm interested in why you would think it was long-term. I think you're being very positive, optimistic. I respect it because, like, I know what you mean, I think. But like, why? Why would we expect Dylan Cease is going to be the good Dylan Cease? Like, why? Michael King, yes. Okay, so the knee, and maybe he came back a little too quick, or, you know, these are the kind of things that happen when you are ramping up and then maybe you start to compensate or whatever. What is he like shown that he's going to be that guy? You can have that optimism, probably even more than you can have for Dylan Cease, because Dylan Cease has shown us he's not that guy. But like, okay, now Yu Darvish, okay, he had a couple nice starts, hasn't gone more than 84 pitches and has really sort of been battered around. So like, I'm not trying to be doomsday. I'm just wondering, because I agree with you wholeheartedly, this is a major concern for the Padres. Now, they do have a good bullpen that they built up. They get to the playoffs. They can find a way to get through these games. So I guess I don't want to be too alarmist, but this is a big concern.
It is a big concern. I mean, to me, it starts with Michael King, frankly. A guy who, you know, started game one in the postseason for them a year ago, was slotted to be sort of their ace or co-ace heading into this year with Cease. Unlike Cease, Michael King's numbers were pretty darn good before he got hurt. And now he's dealing with, yep, I guess, a new issue. They're calling it knee inflammation. Kevin, do we know anything more about this?
Well, just that it popped up while he was coming back and he kept working through it and then evidently didn't feel it or didn't feel it as much. And sometimes with these guys, it's a real fine line. Joe Musgrove, same thing, right? You're pushing, you're competitive. It's why you are as good as you are. And maybe you ignore some things or what have you. And boom, you no longer can go, or it's to the point where it affects a key part of your delivery and you're not as effective. So the best thing to do, and look, the truth is they're what, 5.5 games clear of like the Reds, you know, being so 5.5 games comfortable in the wild card standings. They have a good team. They can survive Michael King being out for a while. But then Michael King has to ramp up in 1 month to be ready for the playoffs and or ready for trying to win the division, ready for playoff positioning, ready to get them into the playoffs. Let's not take anything for granted. So I agree with you that it kind of starts with him. But then if we get past him, I'm like, what is Dylan Cease going to give you, man? And what is Yu Darvish going to give you? Might they? Absolutely, they might. And if you're rooting for the Padres, you're rooting for those guys. But you have every right to be concerned that when they go out there, the Padres could be down very quickly.
Yeah, and can you depend on these guys? I mean, to me, that's the big question going forward, right? If we're talking about big games in October, let's say, I mean, right now the Padres would inevitably have to, I mean, Nick Pivetta would certainly be their number one, right? Nick Pivetta would certainly be their number one. But then after that, you're picking from a group of pitchers that includes Michael King who's pitched twice in 4 months since May. Dylan Cease.
He's to count the minor league. Now
for one reason or another. And then Yu Darvish, who he returned from his own injury. That to me is a real cause for concern. And again, not just for playoff starting rotation purposes, but because there's a lot of important baseball left to be played here in the last 5.5-6 weeks of the regular season.
Yes, I think I agree. I think more for playoffs. I it would be a pretty epic collapse, but if it's going to be a collapse, this will be the reason, I think. Right? If it's, but we're not anywhere near the Vince Velasquez, Jake Arrieta bullpen game every 3 days situation. But if it were going to be a collapse, yeah, then mark the tape, because this would be the reason why. And the positives, right, are that, or the reason for optimism is every one of those guys does seem capable. We haven't seen it from Michael King in, 3 months, because he's pitched once in the major leagues and once in the minor leagues since then. But like, the other guys are capable of going out and giving you six shutout. But that's not what you want to feel good about at this point. You want to believe they're going to give you six shutout, because that's where you were last year with Michael King and Dylan Cease at this point.
Right. And again, I don't want to catastrophize anything. Shoot, the Padres got swept by the Dodgers. Yes. But you know what? Two of those three games were one run games. It's not as if they got boat raced. Right. And you get another chance here starting on Friday to play the Dodgers again. So this is certainly not the end of their season, but there's enough concerning things coming out of this weekend, I think, to really give anyone some pause, right?
Can we talk about that for a second? Because I think we're overlooking it, or we're letting it go to talk about all the issues. Okay, there's reason for concern, but never are we or Padres fans in particular more ripe for doomsday than when they got their hopes up. Okay. Like, you were in first place and you kind of ran with it there for 48 or 36 or whatever hours. You were in first place in the middle of early August. And then you're right. Didn't get boat raced, but you got swept by the Dodgers. Like, never is it going to feel worse than that, because you thought maybe you were at least going to leave LA in like a tie for first or one game up or something. And no, you're two games back. Mookie Betts beat you yesterday. And there are three pitchers who had injury concerns, at least two of them recently, one earlier, all pitched really well against you. It just feels crappy right now. But then to your point, Ryan, there is a lot of game, a lot of season left. So like, this was not a good series. It was a missed opportunity. But I just wanted us to emphasize that, like, okay, they lost games to the Dodgers. Okay, fine, whatever. But the part of the reason, and I don't think people give this enough credence in anything in life, part of the reason you're so disappointed is because your expectations got shot sky high because the Dodgers lost four in a row and the Padres won five in a row and the Padres were a game up. And so the expectations were like, oh my gosh, now it's division or bust. It's not division or bust. What matters is how these two teams and everyone else in the National League is playing at the end of September and into October. That's what matters, not right now.
Right. But it is a little bit like this Padres-Dodgers rivalry, for the Padres to get their hopes up, or Padre fans to get their hopes up, only to have Lucy pull the ball away.
I know that's the popular one. I would say it's more like Lucy to pummel the crap out of Charlie Brown. It's so predictable. It's silly. It's just so predictable. I've seen it now four times in the last 5 years where, oh yeah, Padres sitting good. And it's almost like the Dodgers were like, okay, I guess it's time to get serious now. Let's go beat the Padres.
Yep. Yep. I remember a year ago, Kevin, or 10 months ago, I brought a waterproof poncho to the Petco Park press box because there was a chance that night that the Padres were going to eliminate the Dodgers from the playoffs. If I were a superstitious person, I would say that, maybe never again on that front, right? I mean, San Diego got their hopes up for 48 hours or whatever it was last year, thinking that they had the Dodgers on the ropes. And again, We talked about this, Kevin, since before I was doing this job. Don't bury the Dodgers ever. Because you know what? We've been talking about Max Muncy not being good enough, or Mookie Betts being in a slump, or the Dodgers pitchers all being hurt. We've been talking about some version of this for 5 years, and the Dodgers keep battling back. And that was one of my takeaways from this weekend, too, was the Padres didn't play particularly well. The Dodgers did championship stuff. I mean, they got home runs from their superstars with the game on the line against a guy who throws a home in Robert Suarez. They got good pitching from unlikely plays.
Yep.
This was not the same team that got swept by the Angels last week. It did not. Right. They played better. They stepped up. Padres wilted a little, I think.
Yes, they did. I mean, you had big guys who haven't been coming up and they're coming through in big situations. And you're right. And that's why I say it was like the Dodgers looked at the clock. And that's the danger when you have such a talented team and they spent so much money on it. And, you know, everyone thinks they know better and, oh, they should have done something at the trade deadline. And, you know, look, I'm not giving the crown, either the division or the World Series, to the Dodgers. But like, this was who the Dodgers are. So watch out.
You're right. Can we talk about Jackson Merrill for a minute, Kevin?
Please, please. I'm sorry. I stopped you before, but I wanted to address the big picture of the situation. But please, we must talk about Jackson Merrill.
Right. Jackson Merrill tweaks an ankle Friday, seemingly something that affected him throughout the rest of the weekend. Our Jeff Sanders had a note about him in today's paper. Man, he seems frustrated with a year where almost nothing has gone right, except for that big extension he signed. What's the latest there? And what is sort of the path forward if Jackson Merrill can't play for a week? How do the Padres cover center field?
I think like they did yesterday. You put Laureano out there and you have Gavin Sheets. Maybe you don't play Gavin Sheets every day, but, you know, so you got a Bryce Johnson in there. But those are your options, right? You don't have, I mean, you could put Bryce Johnson in center field, Laureano over to left when you do that. But like, that's your option. And then that'll make everybody happy because now you're going to get Gavin Sheets in there. That's what it'll be. And I'm not going to be, I guess I might even be a little surprised if Jackson Merrill doesn't go on the IL at this point, based on how he looked. It was a surprise that he started yesterday. But hey, like, that's fine. That's what you do, right? Like Jackson Merrill said, he was good to play. He could get out there. He was making some plays. That's fine. But I was a little surprised that he did, based on what he'd looked like before, the things that Jeff was saying about what he'd seen. And so we'll find out today. And then that would be 10 days. And okay, again, not the end of the world, because you have a deep enough team and you're, you know, six games or whatever it is clear of the Reds, and it's just the Reds and all that. But, you know, things sure did change this weekend in terms of what we're talking about here. Now we're talking about, well, it's a good thing they've got this, you know, deeper lineup. It's a good thing they got that bullpen. It's a good thing the schedule gets easier, or supposedly gets easier. It's not quite as comfortable as it was.
Right. And it's funny to me. My next question is, you know, if Jackson Merrill has to go on the injured list, who comes up? And dare they call up Luis Camposano? Dare they?
I don't see why they can't.
The guy hits a home run every like 2 days.
Yes. And I'm just to the point where I'm so freaking tired of it. I mean, he's 0-24 up here, or whatever it is. And I was, and there were people in the organization that wanted to see him play. And I do think there's merit in him coming up and getting a chance to get 4 days in a row and see if he can stop rolling over and striking out, by that rolling over to the left side and striking out and maybe getting a walk. It's like we don't remember Austin Hedges. Like, guys, it's freaking El Paso. It's AAA. It's the Pacific Coast League. Luis Camposano may well be the number two catcher, sometime DH next year. I was wondering that this morning. Is it going to be Luis Camposano? Because really, who else is it? It's really not that big a deal who it is for Pete's sake. They just made a trade for three position players. One of them they can't even get in the lineup. So I think they can find a way to get Ryan O'Hearn in the freaking lineup. I don't really care who it is, but I'm so tired of hearing about Luis Camposano. I'm going to vomit.
Yeah. I wonder if it would be Billy Wagner's kid,
Yes.
Because Kevin, you just say I don't want to talk about this anymore, and so now I'm going to ask you two more questions. But you
they're
look
high
at,
on this
look
kid.
At Wagner, mm-hmm. What, pardon me?
They're high on this kid for sure.
Yeah, they like him. I think that they saw him as somebody that might work there. Shoot, could it be Tyler Wade? I mean, there are guys who are available with some big league experience. But you're mm-hmm. right. I think whoever they call up occupies the final spot off the bench, and everybody else just moves up a spot, right?
For the most part, I mean, for the most part, yes. Obviously, if it's Cambisano, he's not playing out in the field, and he's at DH, and you go, okay, so where's Ryan O'Hearn? Why is Cambisano here again? And again for him to not play? Like what else does he offer you? A bat off the bench? How's that worked so far this season? So that just kind of, I don't know, that, you know, probably end up being Cambisano. I'll walk in the clubhouse and there he'll be. Wagner makes a lot of sense. For them to you know, get a look at him. Again, though, like you just said, like whoever it is a role player on a team that's trying to win a championship. So what is the best way? Is that why it could be Tyler Wade, right? Because is Tyler Wade the best player down there? No. Is Tyler Wade the best player to come up and potentially help the Padres or cover some holes that could arise for the Padres in 2025? That could be why it would be Tyler Wade.
Right. And again, I don't even think in that situation, Tyler Wade's a late game replacement in the outfield. It's probably Bryce Johnson, but Tyler Wade gives you a left-handed bat off the bench. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, as would Wagner. I believe Wagner hits left-handed, yeah. Doesn't he?
And Tyler Wade plays a bunch of positions and all that. But Wagner is also a good one. I don't think you're going to do harm to Wagner by bringing him up and he doesn't get used for 10 days or he's barely used for 10 days. Okay. I mean, September call-ups are coming up. Are you going to call up guys? They're not going to play. I mean, that's fine. Wagner's played a lot this year. So it's not like it's, you know, you're harming some guy because it's April or you're harming his development. So I don't know that it's really that big of a consideration. But the consideration is who comes up and potentially helps us if we have a problem. Not who comes up and helps us right now, because you're hoping you don't need that help.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And the Padres, again, it's a 4-game series against the Giants. It starts tonight. You look at the way the Padres played last week when they swept them in San Francisco. There's cause for some optimism. But then you look at these pitching matchups, and, man, it's going to be tough. Starting tonight, you've got Robbie Ray, who is always a handful, 9-6 with a 2.38 ERA, going up against Nestor Cortez. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Kevin. I just haven't seen enough of Nestor Cortez to know how well he might match up with Robbie Ray here. But he's pitched well enough in his last outings. But, again, Robbie Ray is just a handful, man. Throws hard. Threw about 200 pitches last week against the Padres. Bob Melvin's not afraid to ride him. I think that's a really tough way to open this series, don't you?
Yes, and the Giants pitching is always going to be the strength. But, you know, the Padres, what they were doing before they ran into Clayton Kershaw, Blake Snell, and Tyler Glass, now who they did score against, was finding a way to score some runs against pitchers like Robbie Ray. So they beat Robbie Ray last week, and they beat Logan Webb last week.
Right. Tuesday, Kaiwei Tang against Nick Pivetta. Again, this should skew in the Padres' favor here. Tang was a guy who struggled to throw strikes when he faced them during the day game last week. Is, you know, has an ERA just under 10. Nick Pivetta, 12-4 with a 2.87 ERA. Again, if the season were to end today, I think Nick Pivetta is not only probably your most valuable pitcher, but probably would start game one of whatever postseason series you're in. He's been that important to them.
If you can line it up, which the Padres are in position to do, if you can line it up that you have your best pitcher starting your first game, if you're not having to battle till the last day, absolutely.
Yep. Wednesday night. Again, this is a 4-game series. So Wednesday is not a day game. It's a night game. Got Landon Roop going for the Giants against Padres TBD. Any ideas at this point, Kevin, who that might be?
Well, JP Sears didn't start yesterday, and he was supposed to, according to Jeff Sanders. So that would seem to lead you there. I mean, you got him for a reason versus so you used Kyle Hart yesterday. So it's not him. Let's see. I think Jeff said that. Matt Waldron could be available, but you got JP Sears, a guy who's been pitching in the majors all year for a reason, and he didn't pitch yesterday. It certainly seems JP Sears is coming back.
Right. And then Thursday, this is interesting to me, maybe only me, but Justin Verlander comes to Petco Park Thursday afternoon. You know, he's 1-9, Kevin, but he's got an ERA in the fours.
He's been pitching really well lately.
Again, against another Padres TBD. Are we going to hazard a guess on Thursday here?
Oh, Dylan Cease is who the Padres say they're starting. So evidently that's interesting. Yeah, no, Dylan Cease, as far as I know, starting Thursday.
That's interesting. Two right-handers who throw real hard, who have really good stuff and might not be performing up to par this season. And then, Kevin, starting Friday, it's three more with the Dodgers. So this season could go one of two ways here. You know, if Padres could right the ship a little bit, seven games this week, let's say they could go, if they go 5-2, they're fine, right? If they go 4-3, they're fine. If it's 1-6, this could be rough. And I'm asking you as a way to get to this point. This team, we've talked about it for three friggin' years on here. This team will go as far as its superstars will carry them. And right now, Manny Machado is slumping, and Fernando Tatis Jr. is slumping. What has to happen with these guys? And can you feel this? I mean, can you sense that people are getting tight over there or no?
I think that they have been to a certain extent, especially Fernando's been battling it all year. I mean, look, his slump involves him having one of the best on-base percentages and a decent average over the last 41, 42 games. It's that he has not hit a home run in 100 plate appearances, one shy of the longest stretch of his career. He's hit two home runs in this period of 42 games that I allude to. That's not what you're expecting out of Fernando Tatis Jr. That's the problem. Manny Machado's thing is, Manny Machado's so consistent that his numbers are going to be good, like his clutch numbers, right? But what have you seen recently out of Manny Machado? When they've needed him, Manny Machado hasn't come through. Now, he's human, all right? But, like, this is the time of year when you need Manny Machado to go on one of Manny Machado's heaters. That's fine if he wants to wait a few weeks and have it run in October. This is the time. And Manny is, I think, one for his last 12 with runners in scoring position. And I want to say that if not all of those, you know, all of them yesterday, that was four of them, 0 for 4, runners in scoring position. They've been in big moments or moments in which you were like, okay, this will change the game. Not just driving a run with a hit here, but like, this will change the game have been a lot of those. And he's not coming through. And did not have a good series against the Dodgers. Needs to. Has not been good against the Dodgers this year. And obviously needs to be. I do, and I'm sounding a little irritated today. It's that I knew we were in trouble last week when I knew what little I saw of social media. I knew we were in trouble with the expectations. And as far as how, when the Padres have done well, 22 and 24. They should have done better in 24. I know. But it's how are you playing going into the playoffs? That's the important part. Not did they get swept by the Dodgers. It was a bad look. It was a missed opportunity. Maybe the Padres won't be all they can be because they didn't win the division. And then they have to play an extra round in the playoffs. Maybe I'm not saying it's not big, but this just riding the waves of, you know, what you expect week to week, game to game, series to series with a baseball team is just no way to live. That's just my two cents. I'm not sure if I lost you for good, Ryan. Nope, there you are. It appears maybe I did lose Ryan for good. I don't know how to ask myself a question at the end. You put myself on the spot. Okay, there we go. Okay.
Kevin, I'd like to put you on the spot. Good tee up there. I put you on the spot every week. Sometimes it's about baseball. Sometimes it's about other stuff. Today it's about baseball, man. There seems to be some question in the Twitterverse about why Robert Suarez in the eighth and not Mason Miller.
And they didn't read the newsletter or listen to the post-game press conference. But all right, go ahead.
I mean, do we think that this is something that will be a trend at all going forward, or is that just a one-time thing?
Adrian Morahone was pitching, had grabbed what, the last out or two in the sixth. He was there in the seventh. If he did not get 1-2-3 in the seventh, that would have brought Mookie Betts up, which means Robert Suarez had to be ready in the seventh inning to face Mookie Betts. Once Robert Suarez is ready in the seventh, you are not having him sit down for two innings. By the way, you might not get a chance to have him pitch in the ninth. That is who Mike Schilt wanted to come in to face Mookie Betts, and so that's why he pitched in the eighth. I had the question as well. So if you had the question 24 hours ago, then that's a good question. If you have the question today, it means that all you're doing is listening to yourself talk on Twitter, and you're not actually going to places where you could find out the answer for that. So that's the answer. Now, we can also, after that, if we have that answer, and then we want to further discuss it and go, oh, no, I would have had Mason Miller up to go in the eighth or in the seventh against Mookie Betts. And then if he had to pick up the eighth, problem there. Mm-hmm. Mason Miller had pitched the day before. Mason Miller wasn't going to go four outs. So Robert Suarez was the guy that was available to possibly have to pick up Mookie Betts in the bottom of the seventh and then come back out for the bottom of the eighth. So that's why that lined up. And that is a really valid explanation by Mike Schilt. Mike Schilt's not perfect, but go ahead and assume that 99.9% of the time, he has more information than the rest of us. And so yesterday, to really succinctly wrap it up again, Mason Miller was not the guy that was going to face Mookie Betts either in the bottom of the seventh or in the top of the eighth, because he was not going to go four outs. And so that meant that Robert Suarez was going to have to be the guy to be ready to go four outs if he had to go in the bottom of the seventh. And there you have it. Could that switch? Yes, absolutely, that could switch. And I'm going to go ahead and wager that had Mason Miller not pitched the day before, or was it the day before or was it Friday? Again, I missed the first two games. I'm pretty sure it was the day before. Mason Miller, I know for sure, was not available to pitch four outs yesterday. That if that were not the case, that it would have been Mason Miller in the eighth.
Right. That makes total sense. Makes total sense. I promise, Kevin, I'm not trying to annoy you today, but unfortunately—
No, this is on me. This is on me because I came in hot because— Nothing annoys me more than expectations coloring like how you see things. Mm-hmm. No, we need to see things for how they are.
Right.
That was always going to be a rough series. But no, we were in first place. We're going to go trample the Dodgers. Nope. Haven't been watching the last 13 years, have you? Now, I understand 13 years doesn't have to mean that's how the next 13 years go, or even how this year goes. But like, expectations are the enemy of happiness.
Very stoic. Very little
yes,
bit of stoicism
yes,
coming in today. I love it.
Yes,
love
it is.
Excellent. Padres Giants 4-game series, Petco Park, starting tonight. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. See you next time.